The new movie, The Notorious Betty Page, explores the life of the 1950s pinup queen. Betty Page posed for under-the-counter men's fetish magazines and for photos and films for private collectors into bondage. Her pictures became part of a 1955 Senate investigation into the impact of pornography on youth. The Notorious Betty Page was directed by Mary Harron and stars Gretchen Mol as Betty. Film critic David Edelstein has a review.
The Notorious Betty Page is the most wholesome portrait of a bondage magazine queen you'll ever see, and Gretchen Mol in the title role has a glow that's downright healthy. For the first part of the film, Betty's body gives her little pleasure. As a girl, she marches grimly up to the bedroom with her father after church. Her marriage to a high school football star ends in physical abuse. A folksy bumpkin stops her on the street and asks her to a dance, and the gang rape that follows in a building on the outskirts of town is bearable only because the movie cuts away from it. It's only in the 1950s, when Betty moves to New York and becomes a girly mag pinup sensation and goes on to vinyl boots and then whips and ropes, that all traces of serious perversion waft away. You don't have to be an anti-porn feminist like the late Andrea Dworkin to be troubled by the movie's total separation of bondage from male aggression. But the filmmakers have good feminist pedigrees. In addition to I Shot Andy Warhol, director Mary Harron made the ultimate satire of male aggression, the surprisingly unsensationalized adaptation of Bret Easton Ellis's American Psycho. Her co-writer, Guinevere Turner, starred in and co-wrote the indie hit Go Fish. Their affection for Betty Page confirms my sense that just as many women as men are Page devotees. Women I know respond to Page's innocent delight and to the palpable lack of threat in how she's displayed. It's S&M role-playing as clean, dirty fun. There's a surrogate family aspect to Harron's depiction of the nudie cutie world. Betty is well looked after by pornmeister Irving Claw, and especially his half-sister Paula, who's played with Jewish mother spunkiness by the wonderful Lily Taylor.
Whoa. Anyone walks in these old shoes is beyond me.
Father, go.
Jack, give her a hand.
Oh, hello.
Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
These shoes are kind of unusual.
Got a lot of requests for them, don't we, Irving?
Sure do. 8-inch stiletto heels, black seam stockings, 12 different poses. High heels are very popular.
There you go.
Okay, sit it down there, Jack. All right, Betty. Let's go.
Beautiful, Betty.
Oh, I think we've got a little problem. Something's peeking out.
Oh, yep. We better put another pair over them. Yeah, we got to put these over the ones you got on. These will be okay, huh? Yeah, bro, as if the customers care. It's the shoes they want.
Shoes and boots, boots and shoes. I can't get enough of them.
Why?
Don't ask. Takes all types to make a world.
What kind of types?
You see, the customers who want this stuff, they're very respectable, very high-quality people. Doctors, lawyers, diplomats, even a judge. They're not people like us. The pressures they've got, they're not your average Joe. So what if they want something that seems a little strange, right? If it makes them happy,
sure.
The Notorious Betty Page has tongue-in-cheek brassy music and lurid black-and-white cinematography, but it doesn't tip over into camp. And even though Harron bounces blithely along the surface of her subject, there's a hint of something deeper, that Betty goes in for stylized S&M because of how she was sexually damaged. In method acting class, she seems incapable of psychological self-plumbing. She'd rather be a clown and doff her clothes. It's long past time for a backlash to the Gretchen Mol backlash. 8 years after Vanity Fair editors put her on their cover as the next It Girl, and then when her movies bombed, let it be known they were duped by her publicists. Guess what? She should have been the next It Girl. She's a terrific actress. Here, with her blue-black hair, she looks so much like Paige that this could be a documentary. And her swings back and forth between modesty and exhibitionism are amazingly fluid. When Betty models in front of a posse of photographers and someone yells, "Show us your keister," she's taken aback for an instant. And then she flashes a naughty grin and plants her rump in the air. The clicking of cameras sounds like happy animals munching. But the mood isn't predatory. It's Betty who's eating it up. The mid-50s Kefauver anti-porn congressional hearings that for a time shut down the industry end her career. But when she's born again, she doesn't reject her past. Her fundamentalist Christianity is just another stage in her evolution. Once she posed nude in nature. Now she preaches the gospel in nature to anyone who'll listen, in a park. She's still just doing what comes naturally. Over the end credits, Moll does a charming dance that's so free-spirited, the angels wouldn't know whether to sing or to wolf whistle.
David Edelstein is film critic for New York Magazine.